Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
Well, thank you for your thanksgivings and your testimonies. It's been very moving, hasn't it, to hear what God's been doing. Quite often these things go on underneath the surface and we're not aware of what God's doing in each other's lives. Perhaps we come in one Sunday morning and we're looking quite glum. Everything's, oh, they look depressed. But you don't know the depth of what God's doing in somebody's life. You don't know where he might be leading that person or what they might have been through. And I've already written that I wanted to start by saying God does not speak through the minister alone. He's demonstrated that this morning, isn't it? We give thanks to God for the leaders that he raises up. We give thanks for our elders and our deacons. But the great message of the Christian faith is that God doesn't only speak through leaders, but speaks directly to every believer. There is no mediator between man and God but the man Christ Jesus. You hear directly from God. You'll hear through the prophetic word, through the worship times, through the public reading of scriptures, through your own private devotions, through those times of prayer and struggling, wrestling with God. And if you're willing to listen, you'll hear God through the frustrations of life, the irritations, the disappointments, even the sufferings of life. The Apostle Paul's able to say that, isn't he? In our reading, we heard him say that. Because of the pouring out of God's love into his heart through the Holy Spirit, he's able to see not just the things that appear to glorify God as good things to rejoice in, but also the sufferings that he goes through. Because he sees what fruit they're going to bear. Those sufferings aren't just meaningless or pointless, but they lead him to a fruitful perseverance, to a faithfulness that comes through that time of suffering. We're told that each of us has access by faith into the grace that we need for this situation that we face. It does require faith. It requires us to trust God, to believe that that love that he's poured out in our hearts is genuine, and to respond to that in the different situations that we faced. And we've heard how some have done that in this last year. For some of you, maybe those experiences have been very different and very difficult. We will have each experienced God in different ways. Some of you, I know, have known God's sustaining presence in dark and difficult times. Sometimes we appreciate God's mercy and his grace most when we are at the end of ourselves and we find that he is there. Some have seen those positive answers to prayers. Others have been given strength to endure. Yet, we remain one body. Those who have rejoiced, we've rejoiced with them. Those that have wept, we've wept with them. And through that, we've grown together in love. It's as we remain as one body and hold that tension of a God's fulfilling prayer and his sustaining through difficult times, and we hold those both to be true, that God is with us in those times, that we are knit together in love. So the Apostle Paul says that he rejoices not only in the hope of the glory of God, but also in his sufferings. He's able to view his sufferings positively because the love of God has been poured out into his heart by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but there seems to be quite a lot of scripture that's got into my brain in the AV version. So that verse will always, for me, say the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It seems to be a bit of a richer phrase, but poured out, that's good. Poured out. It has that emphasis of lavishing, of not stinting, but being continually poured out upon us. But the key thing is that it's experience. It's experience, it's felt through the Holy Spirit. It is through the gift of God's Spirit in us that we receive that experience of God's love. And it's that that then transforms our experience of suffering and difficulty. So as we look back over this year, we can do so with thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's done in your life, thanking God for what he's done amongst us. And I want to thank God. I want to thank God for his continued work amongst us. You know, he didn't begin working when Chris Johnson arrived. He didn't begin working when Gwen arrived. He was working over the centuries, building the foundations, building together a body of Christ. So God has been at work amongst us. So I thank God for that. And I thank him for the new things that we've been able to be part of. I believe he called us to be part of the new thing that he wants to do at this time. In every generation, he does a new thing. He keeps asking us, do you not perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. Usually our answer is, no, not really. We're pretty slow. So one of the things you were looking for in a new minister, the new thing that you were looking for, was someone to encourage you to grow in and exercise the gifts of the Spirit. And in my preparation in looking for a church, it had become very clear to me that God wanted me to lay out the sort of church I believed he was calling me to help build. And that focused in on 1 Corinthians 13 and the verses that bracketed around it. That great expression of what love actually means. And over the past year, I've tried to begin to sketch out what Christian love, what agape love might really look like in practice. It's bracketed, isn't it, by the end of chapter 12, the beginning of chapter 14, fairly obviously. But the end of chapter 12 says this, that we should eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I'll show you the most excellent way, goes on to describe agape love. And then he continues, chapter 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So there is that dynamic link between the Spirit of God and following the way of love. We cannot follow the way of love, of agape love, without God shedding abroad his love in our hearts. We can't do it. If we try to love in that way that God calls us to, with our own human willpower and our emotion, we'll fail. We'll soon become angry, frustrated, and then bitter. Again and again, God has to bring us back to repentance and forgiveness that we might be set free to love with his love. So we need that continual work of God by his Spirit in us. These are supernatural gifts. supernatural ability to forgive. We've heard of something of that today, that supernatural ability to forgive and to receive forgiveness. So having received God's love by the Holy Spirit, God's calling is that we love him and love one another. We can't express God's love without the Holy Spirit giving us the gifts that we need to do that. So we constantly need to come back to him to be able to receive and express the love of God. We can't do that without the active involvement of the Holy Spirit. Anything else is sentimentalism. Oh, isn't it lovely? Isn't it nice? Aren't they kind? But it doesn't last. It's just the surface. It's a form of godliness, but without the power to transform lives. People might seem very nice, but unless the Spirit of God is working in and through you, there is no power to change. We just stay the same. So these things are dynamically linked. So my focus has not been on the toolbox of gifts, but on the purpose of those gifts. That is, to enable us to receive and experience God's love, and then to build one another up in love. That is the purpose of the church. I started at a very basic level when I came, to just make sure we're all on the same page, talking about church and what is it? That it's us, the gathered people of God, receiving God's love, sharing it with one another, expressing it outside. And that is our mission in the world, to introduce other people to the experience of that love and then helping them to express it. It's lovely to hear your testimony today, Tash, and to just be reminded again of God releasing that love into our hearts. Without it, we have nothing to offer into a situation like Paris. But the testimony was, having received that love, just one person can have an impact on those people around. So the purpose of the church, to receive God's love, to express God's love to one another, and to help others to experience and express that love. Next week, I'm going to try and look ahead into the coming year, and I'll talk some more about eagerly desiring spiritual gifts. But I believe God's aim in my first 6 months has been to create a bond of love between us, in which we can be secure to receive and give those gifts. To receive and give the gifts that God has given to us. To have the right attitudes and motives towards each other. We've already had some very clear prophetic words. And one of the things that Paul stresses is that in eagerly desiring these gifts, we should especially desire to hear God through his prophetic word. One of them that he gave that I thought was really clear was about him setting an open door before us. And then calling on us to pray for those that we share the gospel with, that their hearts may be opened. Not through our clever arguments or our wonderful behaviours, but by the power of God, that their hearts might be open to receive. And there's an opportunity to do that again, as James shared. Tonight we're inviting you to join us to pray for more people to meet, follow, what was it? Meet, love, and follow Jesus. I thought that was a great way of putting it. So there's an opportunity to recognize that that is part of our calling in response to that prophetic word. So if you're able, do come tonight and join us in praying. And then I think we also heard God clearly call us to invite, learning that it is our role to invite and to leave the decision with him. Whether people say yes or no, that God can work in us through the rejection of an invitation. He can work in others through the rejection of an invitation. And he also works when they accept it too. So I wanted to urge you to keep on asking, to ask God who you should invite and to what. It may be to a service. It may be just for a cup of coffee. It may be to a conversation. But remember that it is actually your role to invite, to take that initiative and not just wait for the opportunity to come, but to take that initiative. Well, I don't believe we'll be moved to respond to these prophetic words unless God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But I'm greatly encouraged that he's doing just that, that he is pouring out his love into our hearts through the testimonies that we've heard today, through the thanksgivings that we've heard, but also through the summary that we had from the church meeting. In the last church meeting, I simply asked people to reflect over what God had been saying in the last year, through the speakers that had come before I came, through my own ministry, through worship leaders, what had God been saying through prophetic words, and to try and sum that up. And I asked them to sum up what God is calling Burwell Baptist Church to do at this time. And I read this out just before Christmas. Many people might not have been here, so I'm going to read it again. I simply wrote down what people had said, collated it, put it all into direct voice as God speaking to us, and this is what it said. Be ready to go out into the world. Disciple those outside the church and not just yourselves. Read my word, trust and obey. Stay close to me and let me lead. Listen to my voice, mainly through prayer, and expand into the village. Be more intentional in being witnesses to Jesus. Trust me as I know the future. Rebuild and restore that which is broken. Step out. Trust me. Love and serve me and surrender yourselves to me, showing your love to others. Learn what it means to step out in faith, trusting that whatever happens, I love you and not being afraid of failure. Trust me for the results. Be open to my leading. Led by the Holy Spirit, get out into the community and share the gospel. Led by the Holy Spirit, get out into the village amongst your neighbours. Make yourselves known. Go out into the village in the power of the Holy Spirit and share the gospel. Pray earnestly that you might know and do my will. Become a healthy church, engaging in relevant mission to create a wholesome community. Work together as a church in unity. Encourage one another. Use your own gifts to serve me and to serve others. Serve me and your fellow men to the best of your ability. The foundations are ready to be built upon. Get to it. Well, I had a little video of some pictures of the year, and we might look at that another time. But I think those words sum up quite powerfully what the church believes God is saying to us at this time. I have a copy of that here at the front if you would like to take a copy if you've not had one. So let me just pray for you as we begin this year. Lord Jesus, we want to thank and praise you for that wonderful action of you shedding your love abroad in our hearts, pouring out, lavishing your love upon us. I pray for each one, Lord, that we would experience that love for ourselves. And not just a sentimental warm glow, but really knowing deep in our hearts that you have set your love upon us whilst we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So soak into our lives, so permeate our thinking, that everything that we see and do is seen through a knowledge of that love, we pray. We thank you for this past year. And as we look ahead into the future, yes, Lord, we want you to take us by the right hand, to lead us into this year, so that we might go without fear, knowing that you will lead and guide us. Amen.